In this episode of the Smart City Podcast, I interviewed town planner turned smart city entrepreneur Nick Cummels. Nick was calling up from Indonesia, where he will be for the next month or so with his startup PowerWells. PowerWells' goal is to provide basic access to electricity to remote areas in Indonesia and is using e-waste to set up small-scale energy supply systems. Thanks to a Kickstarter campaign, PowerWells will be able to install 120 of these units in a sustainable way. Nick is a fellow member of the Smart Cities Council Emerging Innovators and is doing some really cool stuff in this space. We also talk a little bit about drones and powering on with innovation. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hey Nick, how you going?
Yeah, good.
Let's jump straight in then. And can you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background?
Hi, yeah, I am Nick Cummels. I'm a town planner. I am very interested in smart cities, sort of the intersection of the physical and digital environments. And then from that, the innovation and startup space has been a recent interest of mine that I've been delving into.
Yeah. So what sparked your interest in smart cities?
My interest in smart cities really just came from a keen interest in the future of cities. And I believe that smart cities is enabling the sort of futures that we want to have. So it was pretty much a no-brainer to get involved.
How long have you been involved in this space?
To varying degrees for years. I guess I've always been interested, have dabbled, kind of come in, come out. But I mean, I really see it as just sort of using upcoming technologies and connectivity and all the enabled sort of things that are coming through to be able to, I really see it as just good town planning in general. And it's tools to deliver better outcomes for the people that are living in cities and other sort of settlements.
Yeah, cool. Are there any particular technologies that you've come across that you're really interested in exploring?
It changes all the time. Everything's happening so quickly. I sort of flick between so many. One of my biggest interests is just collecting all the data and finding out things that you didn't even intend to look for, really. So that's not really a technology. I mean, I love AR, VR sort of stuff. But yeah, not quite sure how that's all playing out. It sort of speeds up, slows down. Looks like there's about to be big breakthroughs and they don't quite happen. They get put on hold. But I mean, everything's just happening so quick, right? And I think it's increasingly fast. And all these new technologies need to sort of be evaluated and worked out how we can sort of use them as a tool to get better cities.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose we didn't even start with the most exciting thing. So you're calling in from Indonesia today.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Can you tell us a bit about the space you're in at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm in a little meter by meter, little Skype room in a place called Dojo Bali in Canggu. Probably said that wrong. But I just arrived today. I'll be here 4 or 5 weeks working on a social enterprise startup that I'm doing.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that leads straight into what projects and things that, what are you working on right now?
Yeah, what I'm on right now is a weird one for sure. So being interested in all that innovation and startup sort of space, I've been to a fair few hackathons and startup weekends. Went to one 3 months ago, just over 3 months ago, and we came up with a plan that uses electronic waste to try and address energy poverty overseas in remote communities that don't currently have reliable or easy or, well, don't really have access to electricity.
Yeah, expand on that a bit because it's really interesting.
It's exciting. I just love it. It ticks all the environmental and social sort of boxes. So we're basically teaching local people how to use their e-waste to sort of repurpose to extend the life of lithium-ion batteries that are coming out of laptops, extending the life of solar panels that are getting replaced because the new technology is coming through, that it's working a lot more efficiently. But they still exist and they still have a use. So we're using them to try and, well, we're creating little microsystems of solar power and battery storage that just provide a basic, reliable energy supply. That we're really focusing on 40 mobile phones per day and 6 hours of light for a medium-sized communal space each night.
Yeah, wow. So how did you kind of come up with this idea or get started in the, for this project?
Great question. So yeah, startup weekend, we just essentially were in the right place. We were in substation 33 in Logan, which is a really awesome e-waste transfer facility. And they do a lot of stuff with batteries and other sort of like hacking things together. So we're in that space with the right kind of mentors. Like co-founder Brad has experience working with batteries and using them to do things. He does some cool stuff with it. Someone in our group was from West Papua, and basically on the Friday night when we met and were deciding what to do, he talked about how he used to, and people in his village in West Papua would basically collect all the phones in the village up. About three of them would go hitchhike and walk and then hitchhike to the nearest city. And it was actually like a 2-day round trip, a day each way. So take the phones, charge them, bring them back.
Wow.
And we just really knew, like, that's the thing we're going to try and address this weekend.
Yeah, so, oh, I see. So they picked up everyone's phones from the village, took them into town, which was a fair hike, charged them, and then bring them back for people to use.
Yeah, wow. Everyone has mobile phones. Like, remember when everyone thought it would be heavy infrastructure that would be rolled out across remote areas, and they were everyone was trying to put together these cheap little laptops to connect the world to the internet, and then just people leapfrogged our sort of the heavy infrastructure and just went straight to mobiles to connect to the world.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, even when I was in the Himalayas in 2009, and I think Facebook wasn't even that big back then, but I think I posted something on Facebook and I'm sitting in the mountains. You know, we can't kind of stop the progress, I suppose, because people want to be connected. But it was good to not be connected as well, because you had to kind of walk a fair distance to get on top of a mountain that wasn't surrounded by other mountains to kind of post your selfie or something like that.
Yeah, there's definitely strong ethical issues that I'm pondering. What I really love about it is that we're not doing too much. We're not going in there with like some amazing solution sort of thing. We're not even introducing mobile phones. We're just, people already have them. They have good service coverage, but you're not using your phone to its sort of maximum sort of usage. Well, you're not getting the most out of it if it takes you 2 days to charge it. And we actually found one of the main uses for the phones was just to use the light at night to read paper books. So, but yeah, definitely ethical issues involved.
Yeah, wow. So have you gone in like with a lot of kind of stakeholder engagement, you know, asking the people what they want kind of thing, and then working with the locals in that space?
Yeah, so it's awesome that with the town planning background, I do have a bit of experience with stakeholder engagement and community consultation. I've read a fair few things about engaging people that are living in remote areas, and I've put together a plan for how to address it. It's sort of a bottom-up approach is how we're going for it. But that's why we're over here in Indonesia for a month. We had a successful crowdfunding campaign, committed to doing 100 of them, had a prototype, and then really just went, okay, before we do 100, we really need to get over there and see what's going to be of the most benefit to the people.
Yeah, so that's definitely what
we're
up to.
Yeah, like, cool. We're quite confident that it is so basic that it's just mobile phones are good. You've got them charging, making it easier to charge would be good, and then light and electricity is good. But especially with the smart cities sort of background, my mind started racing to all these connectivity type things, IoT, value adds, linking them up in some kind of network And then we just went, no, let's go over there and see what is going to actually benefit the people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what smart city is all about, isn't it, really? Benefiting the people, so.
100%, yeah.
No, that's really exciting. So kind of talk me through, I mean, I know you only arrived today, but talk me through, like, you know, what you expect to do day to day while you're over there.
So I've just been meeting with a friend from Brisbane. He's been over here about a month. He's been basically laying some groundwork for us, which is amazing, Scott Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a presentation with him tomorrow at this startup space. An hour split between me and him because Brad, the co-founder, messed up his flights and is arriving 2 days later.
Fair enough.
But, the immediate sort of thing is trying to get amongst this community here. We need to make 3 power wells and then we're going to take them out to remote areas, drop them off, live there for a bit. Well, stay there for a bit if they allow us. Do it progressively through 3 different places. Double back to the first one. See what's happened. See if they've modified it. See if something's changed. See if they're actually using it. See whatever we've learned. And then work through to the second place, the third place, and hopefully even double back again. So essentially like hit each place 3 times is ideal. And then spend the last little bit while we're over here setting up to come back in a month or 2's time and smash out like a large quantity of these things.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk a little bit about when you come back to Australia. What's your plans?
Plans.
In the smart city space. Well, in any space. Anything exciting you're doing.
Well, smart cities is the exciting space.
That's right. Good answer.
It is. Well, I mean, I want to get involved with it more. I'm looking at research degrees. I'm looking at potentially sort of some form of employment that'd be doing the cool stuff, doing the fun stuff with smart cities, which is idealistic, I know, but may as well.
We all aim. See what happens.
You don't ask, it doesn't happen. Definitely doesn't happen.
That's right.
Also, that's it. I mean, and just with our Emerging Innovators group, just is such a great platform for us to get involved.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I didn't mention that. Yeah, we're the national coordinator and assistant national coordinator of that group. So
yeah, and you're a Queensland coordinator.
Oh yeah, I am Queensland coordinator.
They cross everywhere.
I don't know what that means necessarily, but anyway, I just send a lot of emails and put a lot of things on Slack. We had our Sydney launch event today. I heard you called in to that.
I was trying to call in, but I also just did a record 5-minute video.
Oh yeah, that's
in, in case, and as it did, I wasn't able to connect. So it seemed like I followed along a bit and it looked amazing. Such a great group there. And a lot of awesome people turned up. And yeah, they I was kind of like, do people want to hear about what I'm doing? But it seemed to go over well from what I hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. And I get that, like, when you're the one actually doing it, it doesn't seem as cool, I guess. But from the outside looking in, yeah, it's really cool. So you're doing really cool stuff.
Thank you. It means a lot from someone like you. Cheers.
No worries.
I meant that authentically.
No. I get it. I often sound sarcastic sometimes as well.
Yeah. It's what we do.
That's it. Can't take ourselves too seriously after all.
Oh, no.
Let's talk a little bit about Australia since, you know, that's where we live. But I guess, where do you think Australia ranks when it comes to smart cities?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a bit lately, and the more I think about it, the more I have no clue. Not no clue, but the more I just don't actually know.
Yeah.
We're doing some cool stuff. A lot of great people working on it as a sort of whole. It's a weird one in that I feel that we have the luxury to sort of pick and choose what to get involved with. A lot of nation states or whatever have these pressures that really need smart cities type things to be solving problems like right now. And we really have the luxury of being able to sit back, but a lot of the things aren't a necessity. Like, we'll be quite fine without them. We'll just be a lot better if we do start doing things a lot more.
Yeah, definitely.
But also just, I mean, Australia always, things take time, right? And as the rest of the world just pushes on, I'm very concerned that we will get left behind in a few things. I think what is pretty awesome is that we are quite well set up for drone technology, from what I hear.
Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yes, from what I read, basically our low-density population, our sort of air bases and air controls and all that sort of thing, seems to be attracting a lot of interest from the big players in the drone technology. We've got a fair few competitions coming up. I know that Steve Baxter is absolutely obsessed with it at the moment, and if you ever want to talk to him about anything and you mention people getting flown around in drones, you will have his ear. And so there's a lot of excitement around it. And yeah, there's a new one of the big competitions coming up from Toowoomba to Amberley, the Ipswich
airbase. Yep.
The Ipswich airbase there. So it's a huge like international competition that's coming to Southeast Queensland there, which is very exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Toowoomba is Southeast Queensland.
Yeah, we're in Southeast Queensland. I was just thinking about drones drone competitions the other day, because we were out camping and we have a drone, and so we were flying it around and doing some recording and, you know, doing some forward driving and getting it to follow us and whatever else. And I was just like, why don't we have drone races? You know, and obviously they're happening. I'm just not in the scene enough to know that, you know, it's happening.
Yeah, drone races is it's increasingly beginning. It's kind of like your esports almost. Like, drone racing is definitely becoming a thing. They wear their VR sort of goggles, really immerse themselves in it, and race around lit up tracks. It looks pretty awesome, and I'm sure just increasingly. Also with drones, something I'm really excited about, I've been thinking, for ages I've been predicting it. Like, I mean, I haven't been impressed by a fireworks display in the last 10 years.
Mm.
And with the sort of like mass drone sort of light aerial displays that are, there was one at the Winter Olympics that looked really cool. But I think that's definitely the future, that sort of crowd entertainment light up at night type space.
Yeah, well,
firework.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I got excited about fireworks mainly because of the huge environmental impact that fireworks have completely unnecessarily. Whereas if you can, have an amazing light display from several drones that are reusable, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Just ticks all the boxes, right?
Yeah, definitely. Where do you think good places or cities are to pilot smart technology, and why?
I think the best place is whatever city someone is in. Just go out and do it. Move fast, break things, hopefully potentially have stable infrastructure eventually. But Brisbane is great. Brisbane is really good. When I was young, I got over Brisbane, moved to Melbourne, moved to Sydney. Now I've been back for about 2 years, and I absolutely love it. Like, Brisbane has a chip on its shoulder. Queensland in general does. They're actively just getting behind it. They see the knowledge-based economy coming, all the sort of enabling technologies, and they just want to be amongst it, which is, it's awesome being amongst it. I think Brisbane really is a great place for it. A few things that could change to be more open, but for a whole, Australia's good. Queensland's very good. But I mean, it really goes back to like wherever someone is, just start doing things where they are. And like the best time to start was yesterday, and the second best time to start is today. So if anyone wants to get involved in stuff, just start doing it right now, because everything's moving so quickly that people are already getting left behind.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you wouldn't have said necessarily that Indonesia was a good place to pilot tech, you know, smart tech, but, you know, you're out there and you're doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Indonesia is a good, unique one. Massive population spread out. And you seem to sort of just be able to come here and do things. There are other ones we're looking at that we very much know we have to go through the right channels through the government. If you don't do it properly the first time, you'll burn all the bridges and they'll just railroad you at any sort of turn that you make. Totally the best place to do something is the place. Well, that's a big one. What really resonates with me, I heard it early on and I keep coming back to it, is that government should never really catch up with innovation. Innovation should always be pushing ahead and governments should always be scrambling to keep up. Because sort of by definition, if governments do catch up, innovation has started to stall. That doesn't mean that you should just push every sort of envelope just for the sake of it, and that governments do need to start relaxing a few controls around things to enable it. But, I mean, the whole startup space is about just getting out there and doing it.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that's a good approach. Kind of just keep pushing forward and try and bring people up with you rather than waiting behind for people to catch up, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Basically, instead of asking for permission, asking for forgiveness, and just going ahead and doing it is the way that all the big kind of current companies have done it. They just go ahead, don't wait, and just let everything else catch up to sort of facilitate them. All your Amazons and stuff just do that.
Hmm. Do you think Australia can become leaders in smart city technology?
I think we need to. I think we can. I think we need to. Our quality of life depends on it. Our sort of standing in the global sort of hierarchy and structures depends on us pushing ahead with this sort of smart city stuff. We really need to be doing it.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think the emerging trends are that people aren't talking about at the moment?
The emerging trends that I know people are talking about them, but it seems to be for a long time, it was like every single big tech company is actually just focusing on AI and ML. There's other things going on, but pretty much all they're doing is attacking that. So it's not really a great answer to your thing, but it's kind of worth bringing up. Things that are not being talked about, the people, I guess. Again, not a great answer for the question, but we're talking about emerging trends a lot and not talking about how it's going to actually impact our people's lives. So I think we should really be bringing that into the talk about coming trends and stuff a lot more.
Yeah, cool. That is a good answer. Well, I've only got one last question for you, which is how can people connect with you?
Yeah, for sure. Email nick@camels.com, KAMOLS, across the socials.
Yeah, we'll put them in the show notes, that's for sure. And I guess just a plug for Smart Cities Council Emerging Innovators is you can connect with us. We have a Twitter, which is SCC_innovators. So you can tweet us on there, message us on there. But also we have an email address, which is sccinnovators@gmail.com, which I'll put in the show notes as well. And yeah, if you're keen to hear more about, what we're doing, then yeah, hit us up. Or if you want to join,
there's a space for everyone inside Smart Cities Council. And so there's a discretion whether someone would want to be involved with the sort of emerging innovators and sort of just feel it out. So there's a lot of discretion in it. So
yeah, definitely. Basically, we're aiming at bringing a young voice to the smart city kind of conversation.
That's it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it was great to talk to you this evening. And
it's great to talk to you.
And have a great time in Indonesia, and we'll catch up again soon for sure.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.